This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. WCHL, 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. Partly sunny, 20% chance for showers this morning, but that will increase to a 90% chance of rain in the afternoon. Maybe a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. High temperature today in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of more rain, and the low tonight in the low 70s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 60% chance of rain. Could get some rain in the morning tomorrow. High tomorrow in the upper 80s. Not quite as warm, but really muggy for the next couple of days here, and we could get some strong winds tomorrow as well. The towing drama for Chapel Hill isn't over yet. The town sent out a notice yesterday that it's temporarily restricted from enforcing its towing ordinance because of a temporary stay order issued by the North Carolina Supreme Court. This order stops the enforcement of the Court of Appeals decision and reinstates the injunction against the town's towing ordinance pending the Supreme Court's further consideration. George's Towing and Recovery on Tuesday filed paperwork to seek review by the North Carolina Supreme Court of the June 4th decision of the North Carolina Court of Appeals. That decision reversed Superior Court Judge Orlando Hudson's ruling made in August of 2012 that struck down Chapel Hill's ordinance. The town originally adopted the ordinance in March of last year, but the ordinance never took effect because George King, operator of George's Towing, challenged the town council. It can all get very confusing. If you'd like more information on what current towing regulations apply, you can read the article on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. The effort to stop predatory towing in Chapel Hill may be on hold. Carborough officials want to know how to remedy the same issue at Carmel Mall. WCHL's Abraham Jaroszewski brings us up to date on what's happening in Carborough.
At a meeting earlier this month, the board had harsh words for the ramped-up towing efforts at Carmel Mall, but on Tuesday night, representatives from the mall gave their side of the story. Here's Nick Robinson, an attorney for Carmel Mall.
The town needs to acknowledge that Carborough does not actually have a towing problem and that Carmel Mall is not the problem. It's now time to acknowledge the real problem and call it what it is, Carborough's municipal parking shortage. The town, through its ordinances, policies, and permits, has created a parking shortage of its own making.
The issue was not originally on the June 11th agenda, but was brought up when a representative from Southern Rail had some scathing words for the owners of Carmel Mall, most of which the board agreed with. Cindy McMahon, the owner of Elmo's Diner, also signed up to speak at Tuesday night's public hearing. McMahon has owned Elmo's Diner and operated in Carmel Mall for nearly 22 years, and says listening to a replay of the June 11th meeting left her feeling disheartened.
My business has probably generated $35 million for the town of Carborough, and I feel forgotten. It hurts my feelings for my staff, for my customers, and for the other tenants in the mall. I'm not afraid to work hard, but it's just not fair the way you're treating Carmel Mall.
McMahon added that just hours before the meeting, she encountered visitors who illegally had parked in the Carmel Mall parking lot. Although she verbally warned them that they could be towed and fined, she says they still elected to leave their car in the lot while eating at a restaurant across the street. The board had mixed feelings about the words from Robinson and McMahon. Alderman Jacqueline Gist says she feels the town owes some loyalty to local businesses such as Elmo's.
We have a Carborough business that helped build Carborough, who's being negatively impacted by the lack of parking, and that's not fair. I think there's right and wrong on both sides. I'd be really happy if the signage was good and people could read it, but we also need to protect the existing businesses as new ones come in.
But Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton took issue with some of the words spoken against the alderman, especially from the mall's attorney.
I feel like the letter that we received shortly after our June 11th meeting, I guess it feels a little bit disingenuous for me to hear a bunch of complaints about what happened at the June 11th meeting or what happened at previous meetings before that, and then be told that those things are water under the bridge. If they were water under the bridge, then you wouldn't be up here complaining about them.
Chilton specifically mentioned the new garage at 300 East Main Street and the purchase of the parking lot at 203 South Greensboro Street as examples of the town's recent actions to help alleviate the issue. It wasn't just store owners and legal advisors who spoke against the recent towing stipulations. Barnes Towing, Talbert's Towing, and T-Roy Towing all agreed to speak with town staff regarding their issues with the ordinance in its current state. Although enforcement has recently increased at Carmel Mall, the town's updated towing ordinance has been in place since 2011. The ordinance is very similar to Chapel Hill's. It requires companies to accept credit and debit cards, places limits on the corresponding fine to $100, and mandates proper signage at all lots. Tuesday's meeting was the last official Board of Aldermen meeting before the board's summer recess. The aldermen are scheduled to hold their annual retreat this Sunday afternoon, after which they will continue their discussion on possibly allowing residential space in the 300 East Main Street property. Stay tuned to WCHL and chapelboro.com for the latest developments. Abraham Jaroszewski, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Construction on Weaver Dairy Road has been ongoing since 2010. Next month, the section of the road between Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and the planned roundabout near Irwin Road will be completed for the most part. The construction was meant to expand Weaver Dairy Road to include more exclusive turn lanes for drivers and raised medians. According to a resident engineer with the North Carolina Department of Transportation, Chris Kirkman, parts of the road will still see construction for a few more months.
We have a retaining wall to install between the roundabout and Irwin Road. That's going to take a few more months.
Kirkman says the expected traffic delays around the area where the wall is being built should be minor.
The intersection will be in its final configuration. All the lanes and the traffic signals should be functioning well.
While the plan is to be finished with the majority of the project by July, Kirkman adds that the frequent rain the area has been getting could delay completion.
The asphalt has to dry off before you put your pavement markings down. So rain has a huge effect on progress on the project.
Workers are also adding sidewalks and bus and bike lanes to the stretch of Weaver Dairy between Martin Luther King Boulevard and Irwin Road. Weaver Dairy Extension is the road that extends on the other side of Martin Luther King Boulevard, which goes over to Homestead Road, but we're talking about Weaver Dairy Road proper here. Reverend William Barber, president of the North Carolina chapter of the NAACP, is a loud and passionate voice behind the Moral Monday protests in Raleigh. He is quite a powerful speaker as well. Thousands gather in Raleigh each week. The movement is getting bigger and bigger. And they're all hearing Barber speak against policies of the North Carolina General Assembly. WCHL's Rachel Nash has been there each week, and she spoke with an expert on public speaking to break down the techniques of this charismatic leader.
So let it be clear and let it be known. They may not change, but neither will we. As long as we got breath in our body, as long as we got marching in our feet, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, forward together.
That's a clip of Reverend William Barber speaking at last week's Moral Monday. When the NAACP staged its first protest on April 29th, Barber was among the 17 arrested. Those arrestees now wear pins that read, "I went to jail with Reverend Barber." Following this week's Mass Moral Monday, more than 550 people have now been arrested. UNC Communications Professor Christian Lundberg specializes in theories of public discourse, public speaking, rhetorical theory, and debate and deliberation. He explained Barber keeps with the traditions of the speakers of the African American churches associated with the civil rights movement.
But the most interesting thing is, as he really gets into his speech, he starts to really change from those short, simple, declarative sentences towards really kind of elegant, figural language. There's lots of metaphors. There's lots of repetition.
Lundberg identified several techniques that Barber employs in his speeches. He begins with declarative sentences, and then as he gets into the speech, picks up the pace and intensifies his volume. Coming from a church background, Barber's speeches are also heavily laced with biblical references. Many amens can be heard from the crowds at the demonstrations, as people of faith and clergy members have been very active in the rallies. Jeffrey Frank, who attends the United Church of Chapel Hill, has attended 5 protests and said he loves to hear Barber speak. Frank said it's more than just Barber's energy that gets his attention.
First of all, he really understands the issues, but he comes at them from a moral point of view. He puts his message across very well, looking at the focus. He knows the scriptures and he knows how that applies.
Lundberg explains Barber speaks in anaphoric expressions, where he begins each phrase with the same word and then does a riff on that word. It's a stylistic approach used by many Southern preachers, and the cumulative effect, Lundberg explains, conveys passion to the listeners.
If he's really taking lots of individual issues in the political debate and tying them to this larger narrative frame that links struggle in Raleigh right now with the struggle in the civil rights movement, and those two things work together to kind of move him towards a really passionate and engaging package, especially for audiences that share some of his assumptions.
However, not everyone in North Carolina is taken by what Barber has to say. North Carolina State Senator Tom Goolsbee called the civil disobedience movement more on Monday. Lundberg pointed out, though, that the response of the listener depends heavily on their ideological beliefs.
The interesting thing about our culture now is that people listen to speeches less to be challenged or to be changed, but to confirm whatever their own opinions are.
Lundberg said time will tell how successful Barber is at reaching North Carolinians who are somewhere in the middle of the political spectrum.
What's really interesting about guys like that is to see if they can get kind of more moderate folks to agree with the message. And, you know, that was something that was very effective in the civil rights movement in the 60s. And whether or not it'll be effective in our political context, I don't know. But I do know that that guy does execute his strategy quite well. And so it's definitely interesting to listen to and watch.
Barber and others involved in the civil disobedience movement have said they won't stop protesting until they see change in the legislation coming out of the General Assembly. The next rally is set for this Monday. Barber has called for greater numbers to attend, dubbing it another Mass Moral Monday. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time, 8:18, 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL Traffic, brought to you by Grimble Jewelers in Chapel Hill. If you're looking for an engagement ring or a custom piece you've been dreaming of, you want something custom designed, Berkeley Grimble can take care of that for you. Grimble Jewelers is always there. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Grimble's in the Village Plaza, easy to find, right next to Whole Foods. Well, the traffic this morning has been moving along considerably well. We have some of the usual delays this morning stacking up out near on the I-40 exchange between South Point, also 15501 and 54, a little bit slow. Otherwise, no major problems to report. If you spot any specific problems, if you're experiencing a big delay or you see any accident, certainly call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363. Let us know, and we will pass along the word to everybody else. But for the most part, things are looking okay this morning. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Elmo's Diner. Voted best breakfast and best kid-friendly by the Indy, chapelbro.com, and Chapel Hill Magazine. Elmo's Diner at Carmel Mall in Carborough. Good food. All right, 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's going to be a muggy day, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers this morning. But a 90% chance for showers or thunderstorms in the afternoon. High today in the low 90s. Make sure you have your umbrella, hat, raincoat, something with you this afternoon for sure. Tonight, partly cloudy, 40% chance of rain. Low tonight, 72. Tomorrow could be even worse. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms, maybe even in the morning. And then showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon, too. High tomorrow in the upper 80s and a little windy late tomorrow. Chance of rain, 60%. Tomorrow night, still 60% chance of rain with a low 70. And then on Friday, partly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain and the high of about 90 degrees. So we're looking at some rather muggy weather here over the next 3 days or so.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
Let's jump right to WCHL Championship Sports this morning, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Anticipation is building as Carolina's football season opener against South Carolina will be here before you know it. It's Thursday, August 29th, 6 p.m. on ESPN. It's actually the opening act for the college football season. The contest happens at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina, a tremendous stadium with a great capacity. It'll mark the 56th meeting of the gridiron between the two schools and the first since 2007. Now, UNC head coach Larry Fedora joined South Carolina's Sports Talk Radio for a friendly chat yesterday about facing the Gamecocks and how he feels the Tar Heels might stack up against South Carolina.
We understand that it'll be a hostile environment down there in Columbia, and the Gamecocks fans will do a great job. And so we understand the task at hand.
In Coach Fedora's first season with Carolina, Tar Heels went 8-4 overall, 5-3 in the ACC. His team set school records in scoring and total offense. They won 8 games and could have claimed a division title if it weren't for lingering NCAA sanctions. Fedora also ushered in a new era of no-huddle spread offense with the Tar Heels and shattered previous school records with 487 points scored and 40.6 points average per game. At the helm was quarterback Bren Renner, who's now a senior, and he's back to lead the high-scoring offensive attack.
He just got better as the year went on, so I'd say that last 5 games, Bren really did a great job for us. And then he picked up this spring, right where he had left off. And so, you know, we expect big things out of Brent this next season.
The question of who will fill Gio Bernard's big shoes remains. Fedora says he feels confident about the options he has. Senior A.J. Blue and sophomore Romar Morris can get it done. They have a lot of experience. True freshman Chris Francis was one of the big surprises in the spring for Carolina. Fellow freshman T.J. Logan might make things even more interesting. Listen to what he did in one game. He scored 8 touchdowns and rushed for more than 500 yards for Northern Gilbert High School in their victory in the 3A state championship game this past season.
We're excited about what he brings to the table, and I really feel pretty good about all four of those guys. So it's going to be interesting to see who decides, you know, they want to be the man.
South Carolina finished the 2012 season with an 11-2 mark, a victory in the Outback Bowl, and a number 8 national ranking. The Gamecocks also have a very impressive player. Gamecocks have Jadavian Clowney, the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, and this is one of the reasons Fedora is not taking anything for granted.
We're scared to death of him. You got that defensive end over there that's all-world and is a great player, you know, so we've got a lot of work to do.
South Carolina won in Chapel Hill way back in 2007 by a 21-15 score. UNC holds a 14-9-1 advantage in games played down in Columbia, and also holds an overall advantage, 34 wins against 18 losses and 4 ties in the all-time series. That rivalry going back a long way. In case you're wondering, UCLA has won the national championship in baseball. UCLA, of course, the team that knocked out Carolina. Eric Filia drove in a career-high 5 runs. Nick Vandertwig limited Mississippi State to 5 hits in 8 innings. And UCLA won its first national championship in baseball 8-0 last night. Bruins finished the season 49-17. They completed a 2-game sweep in the College World Series in Omaha over Mississippi State and ended the season with 11 straight wins, including that big win over Carolina. UCLA allowed 4 runs in 5 games to set a College World Series record for fewest in the metal bat era that started back in 1974. They don't really have much firepower at the plate, but they can get it done otherwise. There's no question. UNC, it is wait until next season. Tar Heels have been 6 times in the last 8 years. UNC women's lacrosse team didn't just win its first national championship, but according to Inside Lacrosse, it's also the 2013 Team of the Year. No surprise there. Head coach Jenny Levy was named National Coach of the Year by Inside Lacrosse and the Intercollegiate Women's Lacrosse Coaches Association. Tar Heels senior star Kara Cannizzaro was a finalist for the Tewaratin Award, which is one of the awards that recognizes the top player of the year. She won the Honda Sports Award, which also recognizes the National Player of the Year. Carolina lost its season opener to Florida 5-3. They followed that loss with 11 straight wins, including an overtime win against Duke. Tar Heels then dropped their first conference game to national runner-up Maryland 14-13. After another meeting with Maryland in the ACC title game, which resulted in a 12-8 loss for Carolina, Tar Heels weren't going to allow another defeat at the hands of the Terrapin. They won the third time out. After a relatively easy contest in the first 3 rounds of the NCAA tournament, UNC and Maryland met again for the national title game. Carolina took the win in a 13-12 triple overtime contest. Maryland was undefeated up until that point. Tar Heels will lose Cannizzaro, but aside from 2 other seniors, return most of their major playmakers. Inside Lacrosse writer Danielle Bernstein says, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Tar Heels repeat in 2014. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning. I'm Ron Sutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Despite its many flaws, the NCAA is never going away. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. With everything now pointing toward renewed stability in college athletics, the local talk shows are still pontificating about the impending death of the NCAA. It will never happen, brothers and sisters, for the same reason we're in this mess to begin with. Money. Too much of it is being made to unseat the system. First of all, the Big Five conferences seceding from the NCAA means the end of college athletics as we know it, even though we all recognize it's really not amateur sports anymore and the players should somehow be compensated. Forming a new governing body of college sport is wrought with peril and bad publicity. It would mean the trickle-down economics that support the mid-major schools and divisions 2 and 3 would end, and those schools would have to turn all of the sports they cannot afford to fund into club teams or intramurals. Even if football formed a super conference, it would still be within the NCAA, so the men's basketball tournament could continue being the cash cow that pays everyone else down the food chain, at least enough to keep playing on the varsity level. Also, breaking away from the tax-exempt nonprofit status of the NCAA invites the government to get involved like it already has with the BCS. That means the athletes are paid employees who need workman's compensation insurance, and taxes would have to be paid on every revenue stream. I am sure the millionaire power coaches will let their ADs and presidents vote for that. A recent survey showed that in 41 of the 50 states, the highest paid public employee is a college coach. I'm certain Nick Saban, Mac Brown, and Mike Krzyzewski would relish going from running their schools to working for some real CEO who could fire them for any old reason. Hey, Mac, you lost 5 games last season. Hit the road. Breaking away completely makes less sense than reforming the NCAA, which, believe me, needs serious reform. Figure out how to pay the players, even if it's deferred. Give them a 5-year academic scholarship they can use whenever they want, and continue calling college sports amateur sports. There is too much money at stake to ever risk trying it any other way. This is our chance, Gene. See ya.
I literally spent almost 2 hours every single day for 6 months doing research.
Andrew Jernigan was on a mission to find the perfect engagement ring for Miss North Carolina 2011, Healy Best.
I probably went in a total of 10 different jewelers, and each one of those stores I probably went in 2 to 5 times. Throughout the whole experience, I probably looked at 500 different diamonds. I truly became a jeweler's worst nightmare.
Then he discovered Diamonds Direct Crabtree, where he found the perfect diamond, the most beautiful ring, and the best value.
I feel completely comfortable after looking at 500 diamonds and comparing everyone's price against everyone else. No one could get anywhere close.
Healy loved the ring and now finds herself in a new kind of competition with her Miss America contenders.
It's almost like a competition now after Miss America to see who can have the most beautiful engagement ring. And so far, I'm winning. Diamonds Direct has made that possible, too. So I might not have won Miss America, but I'm totally winning the best engagement ring contest.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree, North Carolina's direct diamond importer, on Glenwood outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming Steakhouse.
Summer is here, and FastMed Urgent Care wants you to enjoy fun in the sun and have a safe summer. From swimmer's ear to sunburns, allergies to insect bites, FastMed in Chapel Hill is open 365 days a year. Their friendly clinical staff are here to treat your entire family for any unexpected medical need. FastMed is convenient, affordable, quick, and they accept most insurance. FastMed, located at the corner of the East Franklin Street and Estes Drive. FastMed Urgent Care. Visit FastMed.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Top of the Hill Distillery. It's half off. $20 for a distillery tour, tasting, and souvenir glass. Available now for $10. Get a close-up look at Topo's world-class distilling equipment and learn how they craft their local and organic spirits. You'll tour the 3-story distillery in downtown Chapel Hill, see the gorgeous and functional copper pot still, and get a taste in a special glass to take home with you. It's half off from Top of the Hill Distillery. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Hi, this is Ron Setz reminding you to join me at Keenan Stadium on Thursday, the 4th of July, for one of Chapel Hill's brightest traditions. It's the town of Chapel Hill's July 4th celebration, featuring music from Kenny Mann and Liquid Pleasure. It's all happening on the 4th of July. Best fireworks you've ever seen coming as well. So make sure you're there. All right, time now for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. Brought to you this morning by the fine folks at the Carolina Inn. Join us at the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant Bar each and every night for their exceptional daily features, menu specials, and hours available at CarolinaInn.com. 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 73 in Hillsboro, 72 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. Partly sunny, 20% chance of showers this morning, then a 90% chance of rain in the afternoon, maybe even a thunderstorm. High today in the low 90s. Tonight, more of the same, 40% chance of rain with a low in the low 70s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 60% chance of rain, maybe a thunderstorm, and some strong winds in the afternoon as well.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. 2 cases dealing with same-sex marriage have been discussed by members of the Supreme Court, and this morning we expect to hear their decisions. Correspondent Jan Crawford.
Most people on both sides of this issue expect at least some kind of victory for same-sex marriage. What we're going to have to look for when we get these decisions is how broad the court writes them, how narrow they are. If, for example, in the same-sex marriage bans, whether or not that case is limited to California or whether it applies to the rest of the country.
Correspondent Steve Futterman.
Here in San Francisco's Castro District, a number of people we have spoken with say this ruling will directly affect them. They say if the court gives its approval, they will marry their same-sex partners.
The Supreme Court will also rule on the Defense of Marriage Act. It denies legally married gay couples tax or health benefits or pensions, which straight married couples can receive. CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It's 8:32, 28 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. We have 74 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 92. 20% chance of showers this morning, which doesn't sound all that unusual. But what is unusual is we have a 90% chance of rain later in the day. In other words, after lunch and early this evening as well. The towing drama for the town of Chapel Hill is not over yet. The town sent out a notice yesterday that it's temporarily restricted from enforcing its towing ordinance because of a temporary stay order, which was issued by the North Carolina Supreme Court. This order stops the enforcement of the Court of Appeals decision and reinstates the injunction against the town's towing ordinance pending the Supreme Court's further consideration. Georgia's Towing and Recovery on Tuesday filed paperwork to seek review by the North Carolina Supreme Court of the June 4th decision of the North Carolina Court of Appeals. That decision reversed Superior Court Judge Orlando Hudson's ruling made in August of last year that struck down Chapel Hill's ordinance. The town originally adopted the ordinance in March of 2012, but it never really took effect because George King, operator of Georgia's Towing, challenged the town council. If you'd like more information on what current towing regulations apply, and it is a rather confusing story and quite convoluted, you can read the article on our website at chapelboro.com. We've been following the story all along, and read that, and it will be easier to understand all of that. And as it is right now, it's just on hold. And while that happens, Carborough officials are looking on, and they want to know how to remedy their own parking problems, specifically as they relate to Carmel Mall. WCHL's Abraham Jaroszewski has details on what's happening in Carborough.
At a meeting earlier this month, the board had harsh words for the ramped-up towing efforts at Carmel Mall. But on Tuesday night, representatives from the mall gave their side of the story. Here's Nick Robinson, an attorney for Carmel Mall.
The town needs to acknowledge that Carborough does not actually have a towing problem and that Carmel Mall is not the problem. It's now time to acknowledge the real problem and call it what it is, Carborough's municipal parking shortage. The town, through its ordinances, policies, and permits, has created a parking shortage of its own making.
The issue was not originally on the June 11th agenda, but was brought up when a representative from Southern Rail had some scathing words for the owners of Carmel Mall, most of which the board agreed with. Cindy McMahon, the owner of Elmo's Diner, also signed up to speak at Tuesday night's public hearing. McMahon has owned Elmo's Diner and operated in Carmel Mall for nearly 22 years, and says listening to a replay of the June 11th meeting left her feeling disheartened.
My business has probably generated $35 million for the town of Carborough, and I feel forgotten. It hurts my feelings for my staff, for my customers, and for the other tenants in the mall. I'm not afraid to work hard, but it's just not fair the way you're treating Carmel Mall.
McMahon added that just hours before the meeting, she encountered visitors who illegally had parked in the Carmel Mall parking lot. Although she verbally warned them that they could be towed and fined, she says they still elected to leave their car in the lot while eating at a restaurant across the street. The board had mixed feelings about the words from Robinson and McMahon. Alderman Jacqueline Gist says she feels the town owes some loyalty to local businesses such as Elmo's.
We have a Carborough business that helped build Carborough, who's being negatively impacted by the lack of parking, and that's not fair. I think there's right and wrong on both sides. I'd be really happy if the signage was good and people could read it, but we also need to protect the existing businesses as new ones come in.
But Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton took issue with some of the words spoken against the alderman, especially from the mall's attorney.
I feel like the letter that we received shortly after our June 11th meeting, I guess it feels a little bit disingenuous for me to hear a bunch of complaints about what happened at the June 11th meeting or what happened at previous meetings before that, and then be told that those things are water under the bridge. If they were water under the bridge, then you wouldn't be up here complaining about them.
Chilton specifically mentioned the new garage at 300 East Main Street and the purchase of the parking lot at 203 South Greensboro Street as examples of the town's recent actions to help alleviate the issue. It wasn't just store owners and legal advisors who spoke against the recent towing stipulations. Barnes Towing, Talbert's Towing, and T. Roy Towing all agreed to speak with town staff regarding their issues with the ordinance in its current state. Although enforcement has recently increased at Carmel Mall, the town's updated towing ordinance has been in place since 2011. The ordinance is very similar to Chapel Hill's. It requires companies to accept credit and debit cards, places limits on the corresponding fine to $100, and mandates proper signage at all lots. Tuesday's meeting was the last official Board of Aldermen meeting before the board's summer recess. The aldermen are scheduled to hold their annual retreat this Sunday afternoon, after which they will continue their discussion on possibly allowing residential space in the 300 East Main Street property. Stay tuned to WCHL and chapelboro.com for the latest developments. Abraham Jaroszewski, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
College is looking at students from the Chapel Hill Carrboro City school system may soon not be able to see where that student finished in his or her class. We're talking specifically about graduates of East Chapel Hill High School, Chapel Hill High School, and Carrboro High. Executive Director of Community Relations with the Chapel Hill Carrboro System, Jeff Nash, says the emphasis placed on class ranking drives students to take less engaging classes, such as the study hall, over foreign language or art or career technical education classes, because these classes are not weighted as heavily.
We have they'll rather take study hall because it doesn't hurt their GPA. Even if they make an A in their woodworking class and their friend takes an extra AP class, they're going to lose on their class rank battle. It's really a twisted kind of system.
Nash says the schools in the area don't want to eliminate reporting class rank overall, but merely want the reporting to be optional.
We did ask for a waiver from the state board last year. They did not grant that, and they said that it would require legislative action. So we would love to see legislation, if not next year, soon.
According to Nash, 40 to 60% of high schools in the United States don't report class rankings on transcripts.
We're getting a lot of students, obviously, from out of state coming to our state universities. They do have a system in place for deciding whether to admit students or not admit students without having to use class rank.
Steve Farmer, admissions director at Carolina, says the university has considered class ranking less and less over the past 10 years or so.
We've learned how to do our work without paying as much attention to class rank as we did.
Farmer says that class rank ultimately does not affect an undergraduate's chances to get into the university.
I don't think any school system should worry that dropping class rank will make it harder for their kids to get into school. I also don't think that any school system should drop class rank because they think that dropping class rank will make it easier for their kids to get into school.
Chapel Hill Carrboro District has begun petitioning the State Board of Education to make reporting class rank optional. WCHL News Time, 8:39, 21 minutes until 9 o'clock. WCHL, good morning. I'm Russ. That's coming up. Walt Mack has today's commentary, and he talks about dropping those class rankings from high school graduates' records. That is on the way, and that'll be followed by What You're Saying on the Street.
The new season at Carolina Performing Arts is coming with a celebration of artistic excellence and extraordinary, engaging experiences. Tickets, while they last, are on sale now. CPA Executive Director, Emil Kang.
Our 13-14 season is much more of a whirlwind, transporting you to many different corners of the world, inspiring you to engage with the finest artists from around the world and to some unexpected, exciting places.
September through April will be a season to remember, an experience you won't want to miss at Memorial Hall.
The work that these artists do, they reveal, I think, a little bit about ourselves and about our own journey. And of course, we invite you to be part of that experience.
Build your own ticket packages, and single tickets are now on sale. Visit CarolinaPerformingArts.org. The best seats are going fast and will soon disappear.
Carolina Performing Arts. The world comes here. If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Terra Nova Global Properties is locally owned. We're on Main Street in Carrboro, affectionately known as the Paris of the Piedmont. The global in our name means we are trained and qualified to find you a pied-à-terre in Paris, the real one. I'm Mariana Fiorentino, owner and broker. Around the corner or around the globe, we are focused on international buyers moving here or those of you chasing your dream to live abroad.
Terra Nova Global Properties, focused on you. Online at TerraNovaGlobal.com.
carborough.com.
Well, we're talking about education just a moment ago. Let's extend that conversation to another facet. It's 8:42 at WCHL, 18 minutes until 9 o'clock. North Carolina educators are joining 10,000 colleagues from across the nation for dialogue on pressing issues facing education. As North Carolina educators are hard at work, and we have Rodney Ellis, North Carolina Association of Educators president, on the line right now. And one of these topics of conversation is about, educating issues impacting the state of North Carolina. What is the NEA's representative assembly, Rodney, if you would take just a moment to explain that?
Well, the representative assembly is the largest gathering of educators in this country, and we gather together to talk about issues that impact public education. And this year our focus is primarily on putting students first at the top of the agenda for education reform throughout this country, and we're excited and looking forward to it.
Now, you're going to be at the Representative Assembly down in Atlanta, and what do you hope to accomplish for the state of North Carolina there?
Well, we certainly hope that we can develop policy and that's going to influence the decision-making process here in North Carolina. There's a lot of issues on the table to be discussed. Our legislators are debating various education issues, and we hope that we can set the tone for nationwide reform at the Representative Assembly in Atlanta, and perhaps some of that will filter its way down to North Carolina and give our legislators some things to think about.
I know that a hot topic of discussion these days is school safety and gun violence prevention, especially when you consider all the talk that's going on, particularly here in North Carolina, about people's rights to own guns and all of that thing. And what is your stance on that?
Well, we certainly want to make sure that our schools are a safe environment for our students. We don't believe that some of the ideas that have been debated so far, such as having educators carry firearms and things of this nature, we don't believe that that's the proper response to these issues. We think that we have to do more in terms of making sure that students receive all the mental health support that they need. We have to make sure that we have other safety processes in place, and most schools in North Carolina do currently have a school safety process. And so we need to make sure that those are the avenues that we take, and we certainly don't need to add more guns on our campuses across the state.
We're talking with Rodney Ellis, who is the president of the North Carolina Association of Educators. And Rodney, in education, and just like any other topic these days, you hear all about the bad news all the time. But what's the good news about public education in our state?
Well, I think you have to begin with our graduation rate. I think that it's as high as it's ever been, upwards of 80%. I think that's very positive. I think that it speaks volumes for educators to be able to do so much more with less these past few years. I think that there are some good things going on in public schools across Carolina, and I think that it would be great if legislators would recognize that we are being successful in our school systems. And I think that a lot less focus on some of the bad things that are happening would benefit us as educators and benefit our school systems, and we need to start celebrating some of these things that we're doing that are proven effective in our classrooms.
Rodney, you alluded to, you know, budget problems with the schools around the state because everybody's having to deal with budget cutbacks. If you could send a message to North Carolina's elected officials this morning about the one thing that educators need, what would it be?
Well, I think the one thing that educators need right now and that North Carolina needs is to make sure that we are fairly compensating the educators in this state. I think it speaks volumes again that North Carolina's educators are currently ranked 46th and destined to be 48th next year in the country in terms of educator salary. So I think that legislators need to make that a priority. They need to make sure that we are able to attract and retain the best and brightest educators out there. And the only way we're going to do that is to be able to offer them a comparable salary. So I think that should be a priority during this legislative session.
Rodney, I've said so many times, you're kind of preaching to the choir here because I've always thought that teachers were underpaid and certainly underappreciated. One of the most important jobs out there. I know there's so many issues that we could talk about. We could go on for hours here talking about education in North Carolina, but is there a website where folks can go to find out more information about what's going on right now and what they might be able to do to get involved?
Absolutely. We update our website on a regular basis, and anyone who is interested to find out what's going on in public education and with the North Carolina Association of Educators can visit www.ncae.org.
Well, I know that you're about, in just a few days, you're going to be joining more than 10,000 of your colleagues from around the country down in Atlanta for the annual National Education Association Representative Assembly, and you're going to be talking about a number of topics, and we appreciate your giving us a little preview here this morning.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
That is Rodney Ellis, North Carolina Association of Educators President, and it's 8:47 at WCHL, 13 minutes until 9 o'clock. Of course, right here in the Chapel Hill Carborough community, that is one of our main concerns, education for our kids. It's such an education-oriented community. So, you know what? We know what he's talking about. We keep up with it. But if you'd like to find out more, go to that website, and you can bring yourself up to date. Coming up next on WCHL, as a matter of fact, let's get to it right now, today's commentary.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Walt Mack. Another controversy has popped up at the Chapel Hill Carborough Schools. This time, it's about class rankings. Should class rankings be eliminated on transcripts? Well, Superintendent Tom Frisella thinks so, and he wants to change a state law that requires it. It's a trend that's sweeping the nation, as a growing number of private and public schools are scrapping the practice altogether. As competition to gain admission to prestigious schools increases, the pressure and stress on academically motivated students is mounting. Ivy League schools like Harvard, Princeton, and Yale would prefer to have class rankings shown on transcripts. It makes the admission process a lot easier. But there is an abundance of other data available to help determine whether a student is academically head and shoulders above the rest, namely ACT and SAT scores. The grading system has changed drastically over the years. In the 50s and 60s and 70s, students who wanted to continue their education took more rigorous college prep courses, and that was sufficient to gain admission. Now we have advanced placement courses. Those courses are tougher, and a student might receive a B instead of an A for a less taxing course. That could result in that student dropping down as much as 40 places in class ranking. It doesn't make for a level playing field, does it? The time has come for a change in the practice of listing class rankings on transcripts, and the state legislatures should act to assure that it does happen. This is Walt Mack.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street. Presented by ISIS IT. What you're saying on the street.
I'm Michael Pavich. Schools in Chapel Hill and Carborough are looking at making class ranking not part of a student's transcripts when they apply to college. We hit the streets to find out what you think.
My name's John McKinney. I stay in Chapel Hill. I think that's good. I think they can move forward with that and make a life worth working for. Everything will be fine. I mean, I think it's good to do anything for the kids around here.
Janine Lynch, and I live in Hillsborough, North Carolina. It's so individual. I have a real problem with the SATs being so important because I think that kids perform so differently.
John Winokur down in Bynum. Well, as a teacher, I've read about it. I really don't have thoughts one way or the other on it.
Norman Johnson. Live in Farrington Village. My thought is that class ranking has become totally irrelevant because of the grade inflation that has taken place over the last 30 years. So you've got 200 people with straight A average. It's just a farce now. So it doesn't really matter.
Should class ranking be considered when a student is applying to college?
Will Booker, Chapel Hill. Seems unnecessary to me. I don't know why that would really come into play. The classes are so large that, especially in Chapel Hill, you can be 200th in your class and still have a good GPA.
My name is Marie Weil, and I live in North Carolina. I'm inclined to think it does. I teach at UNC, so I've had experience teaching kids that aren't prepared. I think getting the two-year degrees and then coming to Chapel Hill or State is a better route for kids.
My name is Irene Lowe, Durham. I don't think it should be. Some people do very well in college, even if they weren't that great in school, because maybe they didn't pay attention. They'll pay attention in college.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at IGotFixed.com.
Another thing, we have so many great students here in our local school system that You know, one student may make just about straight A's and be only, you know, 70th or something in his or her graduating class, but then when they go on to college, they're admitted after some students who didn't do nearly as well as some other high schools. So a lot of things to be taken into consideration there. 852 at WCHL, 8 minutes until 9 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Rod Stutz.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
50 years ago, when Southerners marked the 100th anniversary of the Civil War battle at Gettysburg, we lived in a time that's much different from today. In 1963, many people still remembered the great battle's 50th anniversary in 1913, when survivors from both sides gathered for a poignant reunion. And we knew people who told us stories they had heard from Civil War veterans and from their widows and children and even from former slaves. We heard about grandfathers or uncles who had lost an arm or leg and who carried that badge of emptiness proudly as a marker of their participation and courage. Those personal connections, close ones to the Civil War, and a collective Southern regional pride in our otherness made that 100th anniversary something more than the upcoming 150th. Of course, these days our friend, the great Civil War historian Freddie Kiger, will be leading a tour of the Gettysburg battlefield, walking those hallowed grounds, following the path of the North Carolina troops into the Union lines where they reached the high water mark of the Confederacy. But it's still not going to be the same as it was in 1963. Our region has changed too much. The Civil Rights Revolution, economic success, urbanization, in migration from other places, and the passage of time have made our region a much different place, a place whose peoples are no longer so conscious of their otherness. Ironically, the high water mark of these changes came in 1963, that same year. It became clear that the segregated and discriminatory social system that defined our region was going to collapse. So this August, the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington and Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech will, more than Gettysburg, bring the memories of today's Southerners together again this year. And for me, 1963 was also a year of personal transformation. A fellow brand new Army lieutenant and Davidson classmate, Tom Brown, persuaded me to join him in applying to the Airborne School at Fort Benning, Georgia. It was a long shot because both of us had been assigned to counterintelligence assignments, and they had no need for people who jumped out of airplanes. But we got in the school, passed the training, made our 5 jumps, and earned our airborne wings. Then something else happened in 1963 that made all the difference for Tom and me. President John Kennedy decided to beef up the special forces, including giving them enhanced intelligence capability, and so they needed airborne qualified intelligence officers. Well, Tom and I were among the very few of those who were airborne qualified, and those jump wings got us into the special forces, where the rounds of training we got on maneuvers and mock battle situations in the Eskimo villages of Alaska, the swamps of Florida, and the sand hills of North Carolina transformed me and him. But my friend Tom Brown died just last week, and just 50 years after he helped turn my life around. So as I mark the anniversaries of the decisive events of 1863 and 1963, I remember how much I owe that friend and how much I will miss him. This is D.G. Martin.
Well, I tell you what, a lot of people just learning a lot about D.G. Martin's background here this morning. That's for sure. That's really interesting, D.G. 8:56, 4 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. You remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond? What's the word? How do you spell it? What does it mean? It begins with a P. I'll give you that much of a hint. You can call me right now. It's brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Your number to call for a $10 gift card to Cruisers is 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Sarah Fallon works with Orange County Animal Services and often appears on Adopt-A-Pet. here on WCHL. Sarah is today's WCHL hometown hero for her love of animals and all her hard work to make their lives better.
Sarah, you've been with Orange County Animal Services for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What got you interested in doing this kind of work, and did you always grow up as an animal lover?
I did. We had all kinds of pets as I was growing up. You know, back in the day, you got rabbits or chickens or bunnies, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you live out in the country when you were growing up?
No, I lived right in Carver. That's how long ago. And so we always had those kind of pets, and we always had dogs and cats. My grandmother that lived in Carver had like 9 cats at one time. And
wow.
So we always just had all kinds of pets growing up. And I did go to school, and I worked with people with developmental disabilities, and I did that for like 25 years. And
wow.
I know.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and I kind of got burnouts, and I'd always worked with volunteers. Mm. And there was a job opening at the shelter. It was almost 9 years ago, and they wanted somebody that had special events and working with people, not
wow.
really animals.
Wow.
So I got the best of both worlds. I work with both animals and people.
Perfect job for
perfect
you, I think.
Perfect job, I
and
think.
And let me also say congratulations on your recent birthday.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm not going to say which one it is.
You can say. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. 60 years old,
60
ladies and
years
gentlemen.
Old. 60 yeah. years young.
Trust me, it's downhill from there.
I know. That's what you told me.
Sarah Fallon wants to get all the animals adopted. There are so many cats, especially this time of year, and, of course, plenty of dogs, too.
Orange County Animal Services, a lot easier to get to the website now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It used to be all these dots in between the words, and now it's www.orangecountync.gov/animalservices.
All right.
Or they can come by 1601 Eubanks Road in Chapel Hill, or you can call us at 919-942-7387.
All right.
Come adopt a cat.
Well, Sarah Fallon, thank you so much for what you do for the animals.
Well, thank you for having us, because they get adopted.
We got a whole bunch of animal lovers here in Orange County. And
we do.
So we need to take care of them.
And every time we come here, our cats get adopted. Our dogs get adopted.
Fantastic.
So it's a good omen.
Well, that's why
so
we do
keep
it.
Keep it up, folks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
She's compassionate about working with the dogs and cats, and she's today's WCHL hometown hero. Congratulations, Sarah Fallon.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Top of the Hill Distillery. It's half off. $20 for a distillery tour, tasting, and souvenir glass. Available now for $10. Get a close-up look at Top of world-class distilling equipment and learn how they craft their local and organic spirits. You'll tour the 3-story distillery in downtown Chapel Hill, see the gorgeous and functional copper pot still, and get a taste in a special glass to take home with you. It's half off from Top of the Hill Distillery. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit DurhamTech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
Wayne's Word of the Day, Pomacious, P-O-M-A-C-E-O-U-S. It means of or related to apples. Congratulations to Carl Smith.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock. Here is